Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you guys want to become a patron and you're watching right now and you're not, there's something that we just started this podcast in that people, that I can't put on YouTube. I can't. But essentially, we were all suggesting that everyone's had a go at something.
Oh, well, right? Have we started the pod?
We've started the pod. We're starting the pod now.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah. So you've missed that, but you can find out what exactly every man or woman probably has had a crack at. But I think women give it a go.
Men, not every man on this planet for sure.
Women are more flexible than men generally, though, aren't they? So they might give it a go. I love how people know, but they don't know, they're not sure. that's where it becomes moisty, you can find out. But I do think that's a new bit. I like that. What's something that you think that everyone's had a go at? It's a secret go. It doesn't all have to be about genitals.
I know
our audience, and I know that's what they like to talk about a lot of the time.
I mean, if I was to have any superpower, it'd probably be that.
One thing that all people do is they'll throw that. So like our recycling, we've got a little basket. It's in the corner of the kitchen. You'll always throw from distance, won't you? With that, there's no splashing there. It's just good, clean fun, which we've got a good, clean fun here, actually, which is actually, it's not just a good, clean fun. It's actually part of the 1 week ban as well today's podcast. That is coming up. We've got lots to talk about. As I say, link in the description if you want to become
I don't know what we're talking about this week. What are we talking about, Jim?
So, what I've got on my list here, we've got a couple of weird flexes. We are talking about last week we were talking about players who've had no down curve. Players who've had no sort of like, I don't know, roller coaster ride with people's opinions. And there's a couple of options here. Some I think possibly, some I'm not sure about. But on my bullet points, I've got written down £1 billion bottle jobs.
Yeah.
I've got homegrown Liverpool. I've got a question. Yeah. I've got a question that I'm intrigued to get your take on. I've got QPR out of the relegation zone. Happy to talk about that anytime you'd like. And the big game this weekend is Man City, Man United. So actually another thing, right? Early shouts, right? I think it's another bit for the podcast, new bit, right? Because we record this on a Thursday, most times Thursday morning, with our moisties, as we've spoken about. And it goes out on a Friday, and it's just getting you ready for the weekend. But what I want to know is, call it now, who's getting hammered on Monday morning? And by that I mean, when the weekend's football kind of happens, and... Yeah. Well, let's talk Man United, Man City, because the reason I thought about this is that I reckon there are certain players who are prime for getting hammered on Monday. Do you know what I mean?
It's Rashford and
Anana, Maguire.
Bruno deserves it. I wasn't going to talk about that, Jim. The last thing, Jim, let me got a question for you. I've got a quick question.
Go on. From nowhere.
Is it the last thing that Ten Hag needs is an FA Cup tie against Liverpool's kids. That's the last thing you need.
Yeah, all right. I thought you were going to say something different there. I was going to say playing Man City away this week.
But they have to. They have to. It's just a fixture. It just any time that's unfortunate for Manchester United at the moment. But that last gasp winner from Casemiro meant that they've got to play Liverpool's kids at their own ground.
Yeah.
And if they lose that, that's almost as bad as getting drubbed 7-0, because it's not just an injury crisis at Liverpool. It's insane. I've never seen... I don't know if Klopp is leaning into it and going, actually, I'm just going to play the fucking kids. Fuck it. Or
just give him a breather.
He's saving it, or he likes the narrative, or he just is forced. Whatever it is, Ten Hag does not need that fixture.
Well, the thing is that they've got injuries as well. Like, they've got bad injuries right now as well. A lot of players out till mid-March.
I don't care.
Care less. Okay, good to know. Why don't you care? Why do you care about Liverpool's injuries and not Man United? Because in terms of the one-week bans, a lot of people are getting a bit annoyed about too much Liverpool chat, which is kind of unavoidable because they're an interesting talking point right now. But...
Yeah, well, sorry. Yeah. This is
it's
like,
a bit of a loving.
Just trying to put a podcast together. Look, I've got no loving. Hopefully it all falls apart and they you know, everything...
This is good from Will. So kind of like who gets hammered on Monday? Who's in the thumbnail on Monday? And Will Sterling said Rashford and Bruno. Forlorn Rashford and Bruno. Angry Bruno. Like, Rashford head down.
Those are
your thumbnails, I think, on Monday.
James, and I don't understand how there are still Manchester United fans out there that are staunchly defending Ten Hag when he's at the centre of every issue. Isn't he not? Like, him and Rashford are barely on speaking terms, according to TalkSport this morning.
Go on, they wouldn't lie.
They wouldn't lie.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is...
How do you know? But that's not true, is it? Like, or is that true? Like, or there might be... There's so much. Anything I've learned in the last week and a half is there's so much bloody goss. Like, football players and football clubs are such gossips. It's crazy.
I feel like they need to... There needs to be kind of less football. There's a lot of football at the moment. Not the games. I'm just constant chat. And we're a part of that.
Yeah, of course.
A part of it. Your bloody YouTube, massive YouTube channel is a part of it.
I cleanse the mind. I cleanse the palate. I'm the sorbet of YouTube, football YouTube.
Mate, James, you're so true. That's so true. Because no matter what fuck's going on.
I'm changing my bio right now. James Alcott, the sorbet of football YouTube. I welcome other ideas. What are you of football YouTube? What's Flav? If I'm the sorbet of football YouTube, what's Flav? And what's everyone else? We can read that out next week. That'd be class. Or if there's any in the chat, that'd be really, really good. Because, yeah, a lot of people talk about the football space, Flav. A lot of anger around the football space. People aren't happy with all the chat. But anyway. Man City, well, for Man United, yeah. Playing Man City this weekend is like minging. One thing I wonder about a game like that, right? They've got so many players missing, Man United, right? They're playing Man City who are purring.
Yeah.
Fucking De Bruyne and Haaland are like, Haaland literally goes...
I thought you were going to orgasm then, Jim.
I've just come. One of the goals I nearly did with Climax. Because there was a moment where all Haaland knew was that De Bruyne had the ball, or the ball was soon to be with De Bruyne. So he just went off, they'll find me. And it's like, he just sort of rocked up. He's like a waiter. He just went, there you go, sir. And the goals flew.
You should have been watching a proper game of football, Blackburn versus Newcastle. That was entertainment.
Was it a ding dong, was it?
A bit of a ding dong.
I did an interview yesterday with someone. I'm not sure I'm allowed to say who it is, but they were. It was a Man City player, and they were talking about. They were talking about Haaland, and because as soon as I met him, they said, "Oh, you guys go for a walk around the stadium, and we can get some like B roll." So for what anyone doesn't know what that means, especially little just shots that you can use to sort of cut over the interview. And straight away, like, it was great. We hit off really well. And we were sort of chatting, and he'd just come back from Luton. And he was saying, Haaland, I think I said the word Haaland. Wow, and he looked at me and he went, he said, I was watching him go through on goal. And I was thinking, what would you do? What's he gonna do? And then just did this little he did a little chip, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I remember I'd watched the highlights on the straight up, and I was like, oof. I love things that make you go, oof. Like, that's things that they sort of almost smell bad. They're so good. And that little chip from him was good stuff. And he said, yeah, he's a joke.
You can't say it, but fucking he's pulled it out of her.
Yeah, well done, Ben.
That is unreal, Ben.
No, you
would now know.
Yeah,
that's unreal.
I was flirting with Instagram stories yesterday a lot, though. You know, when you're bored on the train, it's like, oh, yeah. Do you know what? I'd like some attention. let's put something out there. If you look at everything that's going on with Man United and Man City, the way they play against Fulham, trash. They've been trash several times. Nottingham Forest had several chances against them. And I know Man United fans get annoyed with us talking about Man United all the time as well. But this should be a car crash for Man United.
Well, I'm sorry. It gets someone up. Why are you talking about Man United all the time? Because you're the second biggest club in the world. You spent all the money and you're shit. Why wouldn't we talk about that?
And it's the Manchester Derby. It's the Manchester Derby this weekend.
Every single time, and it's the Manchester Derby this weekend, but every single time you turn on the TV at Sky Sports, you've got Jamie Carragher talking about Liverpool or Gary Neville talking about Manchester United. Even when Manchester United were completely irrelevant to a Premier League season, we still had it rammed down our throats by Gary Neville and Sky Sports. It doesn't matter what's happening at Manchester United, it's always being spoken about. So sorry if we want to take a little bit of time to highlight some of the issues going on at your club. Bearing in mind, we've grown up through decades of having Man United propaganda rammed down our throats. So if you don't like it, it's your channel.
Will there be the same anger when Man United inevitably start winning trophies again? Are you happy for us to talk about it then?
Yeah, can we talk about it then? Is that all right?
Why don't you let me? Who is it? Go on, call him out, Flav. Who is it?
I don't know. You told me. I'm assuming.
Oh, sorry. Right. I put someone specifically in the comments.
No. You just said something. Can you stop?
Sometimes I get a bit annoyed about it. I remember when I did Sky Sports News, they used to get really annoyed about it. It was like, why do you keep talking about Man United transfers? Because it was it's a provocative football club. It's interesting.
Sky Sports News have asked me to. James, can we play the game? The old game is like, what sort of result needs to happen in order for Ten Hag to get sacked? It's an interesting one, this one.
Do you want? Yeah, great game. What I would say is, I think Pep's safe. I think Pep will be fine.
I think he's all right.
I think he'd be cool. I can't wait for you guys to see this interview because it's like he talks about Pep as well, and he's saying, I was like, is Pep a bit? He's like, a lot, is he? And he went, no, he's just really calm. I was like, what? That doesn't make sense to me.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. So, was this off the record, this interview? Like a lot of the Haalands and stuff?
He said a couple of things that he said before, I'll tell you this because you're not recording properly yet. Which I won't repeat, but no, the rest of it'll all be out soon. It'll all be out very, very soon.
I can't wait.
Here's a question with Pep: what scoreline does Pep actually have to lose by to get the sack?
It could be 30-0.
33 new record.
But I'm thinking
31-0. It's got to go. No. Has to go. Something's wrong, and the best thing for him to do is maybe walk away. He's quite an emotional guy, so maybe he's not. But maybe if he is an emotional guy, he would get 31 and go, this is embarrassing. I'm out. 78-0, says Ben Bowman.
You only have to go if he's done some sort of like mad anti, homophobic racist rant afterwards. That's the only thing that gets him out of the football club.
That's so true. Any result is impossible for Pep to lose his job. But if he makes a joke that was probably okay in 2008, but doesn't wash anymore,
get rid of him.
Then he could go.
That said, football does, football tends to happen, tends to just to blind eye to talented individuals, doesn't it? Sometimes to their activities.
Yeah.
But I don't for Ten Hag, I don't think it takes a lot, really. I don't think the result isn't irrelevant. I'm sorry, the number of goals really isn't the point. I think if a complete capitulation or a complete domination by Manchester City, and it looks like the players have down tools, but then that's it for Ten Hag.
The defeat at Fulham, is that not more damning than any result that comes against Man City?
Absolutely. And as I've been saying since the start of the season, I'm not...
You have stuck with it, haven't you? You have stuck with it, to be fair. Not sure about Ten Hag. Do you know what I think happened? Say, like, obviously, he... you know, like you said, you can't have 2-9-0s and be a good manager with Hasenhüttl or whatever you used to say, right? You can't be a Man United manager and lose 7-0 on two occasions and start the next season. I think that's fair. All right, so it might not be... Fair. So say he loses 7-0, which he could easily lose 7-0. Say he loses 7-0. He doesn't get the sack that next day, but he is finished.
Yeah.
See what I mean? They'll do it in the summer. They don't... He won't get sacked before the end of the season, I don't think.
If they get into the top four, do they have to keep him, even though they'll have a better manager lined up? I think a club the size of Man United, you just get rid of him.
I think there's so many managers available right now that it's silly for them to not really go for it this summer, because a lot of these people might not be available down the road. Did you hear what Rio Ferdinand said about... He said if Man United want Arteta, Arteta would go to Man United.
So that's why we're talking about Man United. This is just constant arrogance. Do you remember when you said if Pochettino, if Man United come in for Pochettino, he'd go to... Didn't go.
I didn't say that.
Did not go.
Didn't say that.
You wanted him.
Didn't say that. I said they should, and I've said it this week again in another video, the perfect manager for every club available on channel right now,
no,
that you they misheard. Should go for him. That's what
Pochettino,
I'm saying.
I said Pochettino.
Oh, right. Sorry. I was waiting for the boss to go. I'm going to get a lot of heat for that this week.
Yeah. Pochettino, do you remember they were constantly talking about these rumours? Of course you can't turn down Man United. You're not that club anymore. You've got to get it out of your head. Rio Ferdinand, this isn't the same club with the same draw that was evident when you were played there. It hasn't been that for 10 years. Ratcliffe could change things, don't get me wrong. And may change things, but why would Arteta, leave Arsenal to enter this fucking basket case football club?
We've done all the hard work, like at Arsenal.
All the work. And been back to the hilt, like no manager other than Pep Guardiola has been back properly.
Yeah.
Completely bought into what Arteta wanted. So, he'd be mad to go to Manchester United. Mad.
Yeah. Generally, I can understand Rio's take. That's one of the first times where I'm like, what? Maybe saying it tongue-in-cheek. Maybe so. Let's give it a minute.
Ratcliffe apparently has made an irrefutable offer to...
To who?
Zidane.
To Zidane.
That has failure written all over it as well. I mean, you never know, obviously, but I just... Yeah. If I'm a United fan, I'm like, nah.
I think it's like, with Man United, it's the sort of... Can Zidane drag up? Pep Guardiola said something in an interview that came out this week. He was talking about Bielsa, and he said, people talk about titles too much. And he said, if you gave Bielsa my Barcelona team, or the Man City team, and he was like... Give me Leeds team, like, and he said, give me the Leeds team, and we'd still be in the Championship. Like, he said, all due respect to Leeds, but give me that. And I was like, Flav will love this. Admits he can't do it. Can't do it at a lower level with an unlimited budget.
But he's always that sort of faux. He's like, I don't buy that shit when he says that. Like sort of faux humbleness. I don't know what the word is. He's not
humbleness.
Yeah.
Humility.
He's saying, in the same way he says, Areola, what a manager. Well, no, I mean, he's just lost 6 on the bounce. Don't keep calling him it's almost like acknowledge the trip, or Nathan Redmond, like all that shit with Nathan Redmond. Like, you're trying to help him. You're not. You're playing. You're showing up.
Right.
It's a part of who you are and the enigma that you're creating. And don't get me wrong, don't change a thing. obviously. Why would you? Because look at him. Look how amazing he's been. This sort of faux humility is bullshit.
So are you sort of saying like, so Pep Guardiola will happily tell anyone that their baby is cute. You go, oh, what a cute baby. But he will never tell another man of a similar age that he's good looking. Is that what you're trying to say?
I think...
Because they're a threat. A threat to his dominance.
It will never have to prove that shit. So that's that humbleness that you're saying, oh, I couldn't do that at Leeds. Of course you could fucking do it at Leeds. You're not saying that Bielsa is a better manager than you. You don't believe that, right? We don't believe. No one believes that Bielsa is a better manager than Pep Guardiola in any circumstance.
Pep seems to.
You're not educating us here. That was my issue with that stuff.
Mm. Luke says Pep calling himself a fraud. Oh, we miss the old Fraudiola days. Remember that? Just great. It's a great name. It's a shame it wasn't able to stick. I think Ten Hag. I think Ten Hag is struggling because, I've been consistent too. So you've got to see it. Like we all football fans are smarter in terms of the X's and O's, I guess, because the game itself has become that way. That you need to be able to see what people are trying to do, and even to the point like we were speaking earlier in the week, say with Spurs, you're a bit like. It takes your breath away in like not a nice way. It's kind of making you a bit nervous the way that Tottenham play, but you know the way that Tottenham play.
Yes, of course, of course. Weirdly, you know that Jim, I was talking about that, saying like I love Postecoglou, but I kind of want to watch at least one game where I'm not absolutely convinced we're about to concede every single minute of the game. Right? It's just teething problems. It's taking time for me to adapt completely.
You're a baby.
Don't get me wrong.
You're a baby now.
Everything about Tottenham is a baby, right? We're just little babies. But I get it. But actually, if you look at the statistics, right? If you remove the eye test for a minute, we are like fourth. We in terms of chances conceded or expected chances or some whatever that fucking shit is. If we were fourth in that we conceded eight a game, first and fourth best.
Best. Right. Okay.
Insanely, the Arsenal were like so far ahead. They're like 1.6 to our 8, and we were 4th. So it's not as XGA. That's it. It's not. Ben knows what I'm talking about. It's not as severe as I assume it is. Mm. I'm so desperate for Postecoglou to be a success at Spurs that I'm blinded to anything else other than I need it. Like, I'm not even looking at any negatives anymore. I'm just going, everything is brilliant, even though clearly there's going to be a balance to it.
You know, like Bielsa, like again, in this thing, they were talking about how Bielsa is a little bit, they were saying, oh, his players work too hard and he works too hard. And so it kind of combusts. Do you think that there's anything in that in terms of Spurs? Like, is it too attacking or like, is it too anything?
I don't want to say two because it means I'm critical. I can see what he's trying to do and what he's done elsewhere. And the challenges at the Premier League are much more significant than they were. Well, I've been banging on about the challenges at managing Brisbane Roar are the same as managing at Spurs. But the reality is that the punishment is so much more severe if you make a mistake at this level than in the J League or in the Australian League. So if you lose the ball on the halfway line with the level of striker that there is in the Premier League, you're much more likely to be punished at this level. But the shift from what we saw last season is night and day. It's nothing I would ever want to change at this stage. So, what is it? What are the challenges at Spurs at the moment? It's breaking down low blocks teams and dealing with teams that are good in transition. And at the moment, if you want to beat Spurs, that's the best way to do it.
Do you know what's a bit of a trend this year? Is like I think there's been more discussion than ever before. Teams being great at set pieces or bad at set pieces. And Ben just gave us he said a lot of it's come from set pieces. Because I'm just on the analyst now. You can't see this, but it's when you click your fourth worst for set XG against from set pieces.
Yeah, it's the corners.
Yeah,
I'm convinced, though, that that isn't necessarily because we're bad at set pieces. I'm convinced it's because there was this huge media storm around Vicario being awful at corners when he's about the same as any other bloody keeper. But then everyone's like, oh, no, let's do this to them because he shits himself every time. And I don't think he does.
Well, what's funny, though, as well, like, I mean, it's a bit analytical, isn't it, for us? But the in terms of set play XG against Tottenham, the XG against is you should have conceded 10.11 goals. You've actually only conceded 7 goals. So you've kind of been... It's funny that that's become a thing when actually, in terms of the amount of goals that you've actually even conceded, it's been less than your XG. Whereas if you look at someone like Nottingham Forest here, they put their set piece against XG is 8.86. They've conceded 16 goals.
Wow. What does that mean then? Does it mean like in terms of their ability, they've been... What are they doing? They're making mistakes. They're not getting their head to the ball.
I think it's either quality finishing or shocking goalkeeping / defending.
Yeah.
And they have had problems with goalkeepers. So that's probably part of it. But yeah. So, because Reese in the chat said Flav's turning. Not turning. Still Postecoglou in.
Fuck yeah. This is the best. This is great. I can't wait. Spurs got Palace at the weekend. I cannot wait.
Okay.
I haven't felt like that for years, Jim. I love my football. I love my bloody football.
Love my bloody football.
You bloody love your football.
Well, shall we have a look? Let's have a quick look, shall we? How has love it been going down at Loftus Road?
Pretty good, I think.
Yes. I am. Which is my team. I had a conversation with someone this week.
Can you imagine?
I had a conversation with someone. Because I can't stop talking about it.
I do. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about that, what you're about to say, Jim.
Okay.
But before you do that, just go and have a look at James talking about QPR 2 weeks ago. All right? It would have been on this podcast 2 weeks ago. Just have a little look after this. The difference is night and day. It's mad. Look at him. He's giddy with it.
Wow. It's not, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. Because we have a very...
We've got a long way to go.
And we've got a really tough run of games at the moment. But we beat... 1 week ban for me is home crowds shouting at their team when they're trying to pass the ball out from the back.
Yeah, like, but what's the average age of QPR's fan base?
Too old.
Who go to the game?
Too old.
You say 50?
But if your team's got to a position where it's like with Spurs, if your team's got to a position by playing a certain way, quite clearly a certain way, clear identity, clear philosophy, clear pattern of play, and it's worked, shut the fuck up.
They don't. They're not looking at it in the way that you're looking at it.
Yeah, but we'll find a way to look at it that way. Use your brain.
They're being reactive to the feelings inside them.
They can't cope with it.
You can still use your brain.
My dad's using his fucking brain.
He doesn't like it. They don't like it. The old blokes don't like it.
The old blokes hate it, mate. They can't handle immigration.
And they are playing out from the back. That's what old blokes don't like.
Gammon football fans, sorry, popping your dad in there.
he's carrying the flag.
In terms of triggers for those guys, do you know what the one they cannot handle? The one they can't handle more than anything else, right? Is, you know, on the 6 yard line, because players can come into the box now, if the centre back passes the ball to the goalie,
they just utter panic. It's interesting. It's interesting how, as a younger generation, and even younger than us, probably found it easier. Well, me certainly. But when they first started doing it, I hated it. I was like, I don't like this. I feel really uncomfortable. But now I'm super calm about it because I don't even want to say this, but I can't remember apart from Hugo Lloris. Actually, just
so you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even believe it.
I don't understand what you've said. You need to finish your comment so I understand what you're talking about.
No, I'm not going to finish it because I'm tempting fate. I don't even believe in it. But I haven't seen you know, it doesn't happen in football that often.
What, at Spurs?
Not Spurs. I'm not talking about Spurs directly. I'm talking about Arsenal. Arsenal haven't conceded from playing out of the back, have they? Arsenal haven't. Well, you've never seen Arsenal do it. You've never seen it.
No, you're right.
Thank Christ.
Yeah, mate. He's doing a great job. Okay. Just keep it with that. But we're out at the moment. It's only on goal difference. We've got Leicester next, who are ridiculously good. But, I mean, and obviously there's absolutely no chance of us beating them.
Is there? Could they?
Nah, no chance. No chance.
James. So, like, I know what you're doing, but sometimes I don't know you're doing it until you're doing it because I'm sort of thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right.
I like it, though.
The problem is, you know, like the thing that you're not willing to say on this podcast, you're not willing to say because it's going to jinx it. I feel a certain way about
something
that I've kind of just alluded to there, and I don't, but I'm not going to say it because if I say it, there's no way it happens.
You've got a track record.
Yeah.
You've got a track record of doing that. I mean,
that's true. But we're still fighting. And just what is scary time is poor little Craigie, Jimbo's best man. Really struggling there in the relegation zone. Will our friendship survive? Will the tables turn? I remember a day when we had to beat Stoke to stay up.
He was
a mid-table side. We needed the win. It meant nothing to them, and he was happy for us to go down. This is a guy who lives in West London, and that's a loss of that away, easy away trip as well, right? Or more importantly, the happiness of your friend, okay? And he spat in my face, Flav.
Just to be clear, what happened is James basically asked his friend, who's a Stoke fan, just give us the win. You're mid-table. It has no impact on your season. We need to stay up. I'm your friend. I'm asking you for this. And he said,
No. We could finish 13th. I was like, are you serious?
And didn't you genuinely ever fallen out? Like,
I was pissed. I was pissed off. Yeah, I was like, what do you mean? It doesn't mean anything to you. Like,
he doesn't. So
he
has no bearing on any of it, though.
Fortunately.
You just wanted him. You wanted him to.
Well, I bloody love it. I bloody love it if we're like 14th somehow. God, that'd be insane. Or like we're totally safe. Doesn't matter what happens, and we're playing a team, and they need something from us. And I'll be like, Craig, sorry. Well, these things sometimes come round, don't they? So you can rot it.
How
the tables are turned. Yeah, tough times.
How the worm turns.
But yeah, the boys are doing well. Life's great. Let's talk about Liverpool because no one talks about them. Actually, first thing, £1 billion bottle jobs. Thoughts?
I've been thinking about this a lot.
Thoughts? Thoughts on the comment?
I don't know where I'm at.
G-Nev.
I don't know where I'm at. I think in this modern era, and he knows his currency, he knows the weight of his words and the impact of them. And all this does is elevate his position in game as the voice of the Premier League, right?
Does it?
I think in terms of the eyes of the fan base, like in terms of him, he knows he's super influential, right? And he's influential because of the way social media works, in part.
Mm-hmm.
He's got YouTube. I don't think it didn't feel right hearing it. I was happy to hear it as a fan because fuck Chelsea. but it felt, I was like, what? That was weird. But
it's a power.
The pundits of old would never have done that, I don't think. That's what I'm saying. And it's something he seems to, but it's not the first time. But it was quite poetic. And it was.
I get it. Do you think he had it ready?
No, I don't know. And the fact that he said bottling as well, that shouldn't come from a fucking...
I've got to be honest. I watch most things with Gary Neville. I really enjoy listening to him. But it's been a bit of a theme all season where I've been a bit like, what is going on in these matches? Like, he's... And if he was... If he wasn't Gary Neville and he said that, he would be in huge trouble and he would get such a telling off. Now, has he had a telling off after saying that, or is he able to just like kind of bat it away? If he hasn't had a stern telling to, and I know this is a weird thing to say to someone like Gary Neville, is a very powerful person, but he should have got a very, very stern talking to, because you can't, I don't like Chelsea, but you cannot, your job for the co-commentary there is not to say things like that. I think it was way past the mark. And I think I don't think he's lost touch, but I think in that moment he lost touch with the service he should be providing. That's how I feel about it.
I know. I agree with you. I don't want stuffy co-commentary either, but
there's a balance.
It seems to go beyond the pale.
Yeah.
And I can't put my finger on why it felt awkward, and not awkward actually. It felt like it was beautifully constructed and really, you know, the alliteration, it was really good in terms of if a fan was saying it or you said it on a podcast or it was a podcast. Mate, that is a YouTube title. Oh, you had that actually, didn't you? It's a YouTube title. That is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I utilized it, yeah, sure. But like when you're the broadcast of it, you know, I think it's a different role. It was over the line. And I thought the overall kind of narrative pushing during the commentary, and again, I don't think it was, I don't think there's any kind of like malicious nature to it or like, right, here we go, let's get them. But I think the sort of the partisanship.
Mate, the North versus South stuff is, well, it's obvious. It's obvious.
Well, and I think...
Neville would rather Liverpool win their arch rivals than anyone from the South, I think. Any team from the South.
Well,
that's,
I think it's
feels.
What...
Maybe I'm just being...
The Chelsea thing, right? And again, I'm not a fan of Chelsea. But that sort of idea of them being billionaire bottle jobs... If the billionaire, if they hadn't spent a billion, he doesn't say that because the alliteration's not there. And they didn't bottle it, in my opinion.
Also,
they
also,
went so quick to jump on this thing about...
It's a League Cup as well. It's a fucking League Cup.
Well, no, I don't think that's the thing. It's still a cup final. Everyone's there. It's important.
You spend a billion... I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you spend £1 billion, the League Cup isn't an identifier whether or not you're bottling something.
No, but bottling is you were 3-1 up and you threw it away.
Isn't that also dismissive of Liverpool's clubs, Liverpool's players? Isn't that condescending?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Obviously, the scenario there was so many injuries for Liverpool. And the other thing I kind of want to touch on, which was some Liverpool fans have said, give this a 1-week ban. I'll get it up now.
Little babies.
Tiny little wee babies.
Tiny hands like Pringles with fingers.
To finish on Chelsea, I did it in the video, right after the game. They should have won that game. And so the sort of bottling, I kind of get it, but you could also spin it and go, they created a solid amount of chances to win the game.
It's like football is such a game of variables and tiny, tiny measurements and inches, right? That's what I'm looking for. Game of inches, like cliche. They hit the bar, they had chances. Another day, goals would have gone in. No one would be having this conversation. Exactly the same performance, but if the ball was an inch to the left, you'd have a completely different narrative.
I think on a broader note, and we spoke about it on this podcast, I did a video on Chelsea that came out this week, in terms of there's loads of reasons why Chelsea's a mess. But that game in itself was not a mess, right, from Chelsea. I think it showed some of the things that we talk about in that video, which is being soft. And I think the youth that they have as a collective, despite being high profile youth, is you've got a lack of people to lean on. And that's what, when you go through these kids for the homegrown talking point with Liverpool, it's not that they're kids, it's that, and the average age thing and all that stuff. It wasn't that, it was inexperience. That was the thing. But I think you mix that with not thinking it totally through. And Carragher and Neville kind of seem to be really were sort of quick to push on the brilliant, wow, Liverpool, wonderful, wonderful, Chelsea, horrific, horrific, that it kind of made it a bigger thing and has made it this massive talking point this week. So this tweet has been everywhere.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is such an interesting thing in terms of like, what is homegrown, right? So yeah. This is the initial picture from Trent.
This is what you sent this morning.
Yeah. So he's, sorry, let me show you. He sent, Trent posted a picture, obviously, about it being homegrown. A victory with all the youngsters that it was blowing all their minds. And then someone's tweeted, hang on, where are we? I said, someone's tweeted above that, the 72, said homegrown, and he's gone through it. And I think it's interesting. Now, I know Ali, I don't know if Ali's here, but I saw Ali's tweet, which is how I saw it initially. So it's interesting. In this second one, they've cut out Trent. So just so let that be known, they've cut out Trent, who obviously is utterly homegrown, right? But I think that the more interesting point here is the hypocrisy of it all. And so let me explain.
Yeah.
So Bobby Clark joined from Newcastle at 16. You've got, yeah, you know, Kwanzaa and Dans have been at Liverpool since they were 8. Then Bacetics, Bradley, Harvey Elliott, who was at QPR, Lewis Kumas, who was at Tranmere, all the other guys kind of came at 16 from other clubs. So there's two things here, right? One, when is someone sort of homegrown? And so they can kind of have them as your own. And a question I've put to the chat, if there's any Liverpool fans, just Liverpool fans, if you can answer this for me, if you are in there. Do you consider Raheem Sterling, try and wash away, you know, the fact that he left for Man City and all that stuff. Do you consider Raheem Sterling kind of one of your own? Answer that question. Okay. Now, initially, as a QPR fan, the instant feeling you can when you see this is you see the plight of football and probably a feeling of unfairness with the idea that, you know, Chelsea stockpile a lot of players and they go and get them really quickly. And there's this rule where you've got to be 90 minutes from, you know, the academy. But Chelsea then put 11 satellite academies all around the southeast in London. And so that means that they're able to get a hold of absolutely everyone. And so there's an element of cheating within that. There's an element in cheating of taking people from Sunderland, Newcastle, and so on, right? So Ollie Sage says, Raheem Sterling, no, in my opinion. So Raheem Sterling was at QPR until he was 15 and then went to Liverpool. So, and he said, I agree with Stephen. Okay. So Stephen's saying, Dans, Kwanzaa and Kumas, surely homegrown. I'm okay with those three. Kumas, I guess Kumas from Tranmere, if you want to be pernickety, but at the same time, he joined when he was 11, right? But Ollie Sage says that is saying that Raheem Sterling is not sort of a homegrown guy, right? He came over at the same age as the rest of these lads. Harvey Elliott was at QPR as well before Fulham. So But then the other side of the coin, the final thing for me to say is that, which I think is interesting, is that say players for, like, say for QPR, say like Abir Ayeze or Ilias Chair, those are two players that there's a feeling that they're kind of one of our own because they were within our academy from 17, 16 and made their way through. But Ilias Chair was at Spurs and Abir Ayeze was everywhere. So I think there's just a lot of hypocrisy everywhere when it comes to this idea of homegrown, which again is a shame. And another thing when we talk about the like purity of football, that yes, you can be really proud and excited about these guys, but you have still stolen the bulk of them from other teams, which is something that's happened for a long time.
Yeah, it's normal. It's the way things go. And as the bigger clubs always, like they do in every facet of football, find an advantage. The problem I think everyone's getting caught up on is the word homegrown. It's just a phrase used to identify how long it takes for a player to be considered a product of the academy so that when they're sold, how much a percentage can be considered profit. So if you change the word to homegrown to development player, then the problem goes away. The issue with the word homegrown is it has an emotive connection. It makes you feel like homegrown, like Liverpool has created Harvey Elliott, when you, absolutely everybody on the planet knows that they haven't. In the way that Harry Kane was homegrown for Tottenham, i.e. started playing for us when he was 10, Harvey Elliott wasn't. In the same way that Dele Alli isn't homegrown for Tottenham because we bought him from MK Dons. I think what's happening is everyone's getting super caught up in that idea that there is a suggestion that Liverpool created some of these players. They definitely created some of them, but some of the others that they bought when they were 16, 17, almost all of their development, you could argue, is done by their founding club, whoever he signed for back then. Like Dungannon would have done a lot of good work with Bradley. Not to say that they haven't helped with the development, but homegrown just feels like the wrong phrase. But really all it is, and everyone who understands this, is it's just a word. It's just the word that's used to describe a player that's been playing there for 3 years or whatever it is.
I think purity is an interesting word to chuck in here. Is that it's like there is a feeling of, I think people struggle with the purity that Liverpool fans feel about their club. And so when something like this happens, that's where the age thing comes in. You go, well, hang on a minute. And then the purity thing comes in, where again, it's like, you could say that about a lot of Chelsea players were actually, you know, a kind of, you know, probably pinched from other places as well. Or more importantly, actually, they just got them super early. So it kind of works within it.
Look how good Burville is, Jim. His ceiling is predicted to be very high, right? Within 3 years, he'd be considered a homegrown player for Tottenham. And we've done nothing yet. We've done nothing. We've just bought him.
What's the rule for being homegrown then? What makes someone homegrown? Stop talking about this and give it a 1 week ban, which is what Ali wanted.
I think you just remove the word homegrown completely from the football lexicon and call it development player. Then you have that problem solved. Yeah. But legitimately, from a fan's perspective, homegrown, out of all these players that Liverpool got here, you would say Kwanzaa, Kumas. That's it.
Okay. It was funny because I had a little search. I searched badly, but I wanted to know how a youth transfer happens. Like, what are the actual like kind of rules and laws of it? And I was finding very little. So I'm probably gonna do. I'm gonna try and do a podcast on that with someone who will have a bit more knowledge.
I'll give you his number afterwards. Daniel Gay. Speak to him.
Okay.
He runs a lawyer in football. He's a lawyer who runs a firm. He would know all the answers to those questions. He'd be great on your pod.
Here's a question for you. Ready?
Go on.
Now, you remember a couple of years ago, Liverpool were going for the quad. And we had a nice debate where, well, I think I put it out there. Bold take. Calm take. I said that a quad's never been easier to achieve.
I remember having that conversation. Yeah. It went down well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, got people chatting. Stand by it. So, Liverpool on for the quad once more. But...
Yeah, not the quad, though, is it? But yeah.
Riddle me this, Flav.
Yeah.
Does a Liverpool quad trump City's treble? Discuss.
No, because the Champions League isn't there. Yeah, but they've done that before. They did that with Julio. If it's not about the quality of the
three, training, and it wasn't the Premier League,
wasn't it Premier five League. Actually? Wasn't it like the chat, the
Community Shield, isn't it? And yeah, and I think they won.
What were their trophies? League Cup, the FA Cup.
Yeah, they did the cups, didn't they? They did UEFA Cup, they did the League Cup, and they did the FA Cup.
Right. Okay. So, but that's my point. If it's not about the quality of the competition, then that counts. It's an incredible feat. I don't think it's ever been done, right, by a British club for four trophies.
So yeah, this is my point, right? So, okay, yeah, I get it. You haven't got the Champions League, right? But
yeah,
there's another debate, which we don't have a time, that the Premier League harder to win than the Champions League? Answer me that.
Who knows? You could argue both ways. Okay. Probably
but
not.
You could say pretty equal, right? If not harder for Premier League. You ask a Man City fan, they always love to go, it's about a 38-game season. So if Liverpool win the Premier League, the Europa League, the FA Cup and the League Cup, is that not as good as City winning the treble? Couldn't do it when they come up against Nathan Jones, Man City last year. Got done. It's done by him.
It's something new that you can say no one else has done, I guess. No one really thinks. I mean, you ask any Liverpool fan if they want to win the treble, including the Champions League, or this, they would say the treble with the Champions League.
I mean, that's interesting. Well, would you rather have four trophies or three? Spurs, I think you need a point system. How many points do you get for Europa League? And does the extra Europa League get you over the line in terms of being champions?
Look at the teams that have won the Europa League in recent years that wouldn't have got anywhere near winning the Champions League. If I was a Spurs fan and I was doing this and I was in this situation, I'd be saying, of course the quad is incredible. Like, of course, no one's ever done it. Of course. But that's it. But as someone who doesn't really give a shit whether they do it or not, or if City go on to win the treble again, or whatever it might be, if I'm Spurs and I can win the treble or I can win that quad, I'm taking the treble, including the Champions League, without question. I don't think anyone else would argue anything different. What would you do, Jim? What's your answer?
I think for overall, I think it's a bit confusing, isn't it? Because what's better, four or three? But I think for overall prestige, obviously the three is better, but four, you get to pick up four trophies.
Yeah, but not. Any Liverpool fan would swap a treble with because they haven't done that either. A treble with the Champions League for what they're going for this season. Don't get me wrong. What they're doing is incredible if they do it. If they manage to do it, it's incredible. And it's something, as a Spurs fan, I will probably never see.
Okay.
But if you ask me a direct question about what's better, the one that includes the Champions League is obviously better. It doesn't matter if it's four or three.
Do you know what's good though? So, like, say they get the four.
Yeah.
Do you know what's just so wonderful about the story is that you
and they get the four with the kids. If they get the four with the kids, I'll give them that. The
kids, kids and kids alone. Kids and kids alone.
Babies.
Yeah.
If they're playing three of those little babies, if they're playing three of those in the final, I'll give it to them for that.
Do you know what's funny about these babies again? Now it's like, back in the day, babies were babies, Flav. Do you know what I mean? They were 17, they were 18, they were 19, they were teenagers. Now they're bloody 2021, still we consider babies. You're not babies.
I'm only talking about the little babies that played at the end of the Chelsea game. I don't include a 21-year-old as a baby.
Still an adult. You know, can we respect them for what they are? No. It was like Ryan Giggs back in the day. It was like Ryan Giggs. How is he still breathing? Ryan, look at him. Look at this. Look at this
little monkey man.
This old cretin. How is he still walking? It's incredible. And like with youngsters, it's like, did you see him? He kicked the ball.
They've been doing it since they were eight.
They've been kicking the ball for years. They've been kicking the ball at other clubs successfully, and then you pinched them.
I think if you're 20 and playing well in the Premier League, that's nothing. Like, you should be.
Is there the romantic story of the quad for Liverpool is the fact that he gets his second Premier League for Klopp. He completes the set with the Europa League and he wins the League Cup in probably the best way he can win the League Cup as a top team now.
The babies.
Because we're little, tiny little babies.
James, can I ask you a direct question? And I don't want to get you in trouble and it might be a YouTube video you're doing later.
Okay.
Okay. But of the three, who do you think is the least likely to win the league? Liverpool, Arsenal, or Manchester City?
I think I've consistently said Arsenal will finish third.
So I think Liverpool. I think Liverpool, by some distance, will finish third.
Do you? I think it's a fair point. It's fair to put Liverpool there because they've just got babies playing at the moment.
Babies. Yeah. You can't win anything with babies.
It's like watching a creche. We're just watching nursery football with these 22-year-old and 25-year-old goalkeepers. But sorry, I just turned into a sheep there for a second. I've kind of gone with Liverpool time and again, so I'm kind of sticking with Liverpool now. The sort of galvanization, and I guess how long until all these players are back? That's the big thing for Liverpool, because at some point you're going to need. So you can sort of get away with beating Luton or some of those teams down the bottom, but you're going to start dropping points against the others. And when Europa League kicks in as well, so they need some. Forget the babies; they need bodies. But yeah, just thought I'd ask that. I thought it was interesting. People were happy with the horns coming back. It's great. Pleased.
Yeah.
Declan said, "Thank God for the return of the horns and Jeff and thumbnails. Those 2 weeks were some of my worst as a Jeff and fan. I was feeling like we were losing our sluggy culture." Yeah, balance is restored. Said someone else, Jack Kirby, who is a fresh moisty. He says, "What is the pod viewing etiquette?" So one for the chat to answer here, probably more than anyone else. I'm now expected to watch the live, the video, and listen on Apple and Spotify while attempting to contribute separate yet amusing comments across all three platforms. Appreciate the help. Up the slugs. I would say, well, if you want to be on the pod or when it comes to looking at the comments, I look at YouTube comments. So don't worry about writing on Patreon. But of course, you get to chat with us on the live podcast. Again, links in description. Question for the pod, T Green. Who's the most exciting club in England to follow the flip side? Last week, we put forward who the most boring club.
What did we
England.
Did we actually make a definitive answer on that?
I think we sort of touched on. I think I went with West Ham in the end. I think it was sort of Palace knocking about.
But
as well.
You didn't. I don't think you did actually. Because if you listen to it, you actually saying actually can't be West Ham. Anyway, because they won a trophy. Anywhere David Moyes is around, you're just starting to think, oh. Like, I know West Ham fans are getting some criticism for wanting Moyes out, but I'm like, oh God, he's boring.
Yeah, if you were a West Ham fan, when it's not your team, you go, Hodgson and Moyes, give him a chance. But if it was your team, I think it would.
You wouldn't want him.
It would start to get at you a little bit. Do you know what? That's going to get poisonous as well, because when it's as ugly as it is, when it was sort of like, oh, we're fed up with him, and then he showed his teeth and then won, then beat Brentford. It's that like angry, even if he's not being smug, it feels like that. That's sort of adding fuel on the fire for sure. I think we got there in the end in terms of because Wolves are having a good time right now. Brentford maybe. I think we're Brentford knocking about. Brentford got to be careful. Because Everton are back, aren't they? Everton, Reese. I don't know, Reese. If you want to pop in, you can tell us. Tell us where we went wrong.
Pick up on this. It's like it's almost like they haven't done anything wrong. Yeah. It's like oh well, now the points have been redundant. Justice.
Justice.
Still broke the rules.
Still guilty right? though. Still guilty.
Still Just. Guilty. Just less guilty. All right. So yeah. What?
Less
and
guilty.
Charge coming.
Yeah, you're not allowed to shout justice. Less guilty.
We're less guilty.
Yeah. Frank out. So yeah, Reese, are you happy? I'd love to know how you're feeling about it.
Everyone's heard, Frank, they're lining up Frank for Liverpool. That's going to go tits up. That will go tits up. If there's more of a, I've never seen a kind of, that stinks of Roy Hodgson, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think it goes wrong?
That goes tits.
Yeah,
it's got to be Xabi Alonso. It has to be Xabi Alonso. But Bayern Munich are a big pool. He played for Bayern Munich. It's not like.
Do you know what's guaranteed? I think Thomas Frank's just a little bit too weird, for it to work. Sadly for him, I mean, I quite like him. Weird. So yeah, Saichi wants him. Madness. Or do you know what is going to be interesting? Is that what we could have is Alonso about to step into Liverpool. And his last game for Bayer Leverkusen is the Europa League final against who, Flav?
Liverpool Football Club.
That, Flav, is a game of football.
I've been watching that one. That'll probably be the first Europa League final I ever watch.
Do you know what that'll be? There'll be, again, another prediction from Alcott. You know the Lewandowski, what's his name? Royce. It was Royce, isn't it? You know when they looked at each other? What are you laughing at? Yeah.
David's comment. Because I do pull shit out of the air sometimes.
David Eggman, where does Flav get his rooms from? Some local drunks. There'll be a moment where Klopp and Alonso either embrace before the game or whatever. That will be iconic.
I'd love it if Alonso just done him. Just give him a right dig. When he tried to break, up, like, fuck you.
Sure, to give you an not answer, anymore, most boring club, I would say... I'm the daddy now. The most boring club, maybe Sheffield United? Excruciating,
well,
isn't
still it? Still on the ball. He asked what was...
I just wanted to get an answer. I just wanted to finish it off. Most exciting team in England?
Well, statistically, it's Brighton, Tottenham and Villa.
Brighton's a great club to support. Do you want to be a great club to support right now at Hull City? Exciting. Exciting times. In the playoffs, could be on the way up.
Just really fucked me off the other day. We was having a conversation with a young lad. And he legitimately asked you a question about why you support QPR.
Couldn't understand it, could he?
Who is your big six club? I literally looked at him and I was thinking, I fucking hate your
club. Were you concerned about the, you know, I might fucking glass him?
I felt like it needed to happen, but yeah. I didn't want to go to prison.
So me and Flav worked on something this week.
I had to walk away.
You did. James, you did walk away. Yeah. Thanks for the support. I had to deal with that situation.
What a moron.
So me and Flav did something which you guys are going to be able to watch soon. We are so excited for you to see it. And I think part of the opportunity comes from this podcast. So thank you for helping with that. But yeah, as part of it, someone who supported a top six side, should we say. Said, who's your team? And I went, QPR. He went, huh? What do you mean? He said, come on. But who's your real team, Flav?
I sat there and I was thinking, you're the worst fucking thing about football. You are the worst fucking thing that there could ever be about our game. And don't get me wrong, there are many things that are terrible about football.
Yeah.
Injustice. But, you know, racism that goes unchecked.
Mm.
Horrendous homophobia. But you, my friend, are fucking VAR. Worse than all of that.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, you're awful. That's what I thought. That was what my brain thought. And then he went, yeah, okay, but... And I went, QPR. I was at QPR. And he went, yeah, but who's your big six? Who's your big six team? And I said, QPR.
What's been created in the Premier League, like by the Premier League and by Sky, and what's been created?
But this has happened to me a couple of times now, mate. This is happening a lot.
I know.
This is the new breed.
I know it is. I know. And I don't know what to do.
What do we do? How do we solve this?
Everything, at every moment, humiliate them.
Do you know what was annoying as well? Was that person supported that club because of their dad, I think. But it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered. It was like...
It wasn't that. It was his attitude towards you. Why you supported your club. That was the problem. That was the problem I had. That you do not understand. Anyway.
It's an awkward climate. It's an awkward climate.
I don't want to be near it. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be near anyone who can't understand that there is value in supporting a tin pot little shit club like QPR.
Yeah, I was about to call you out on that. So I'm pleased you chucked that in. I would say the most exciting team to support right now has got to be Villa. Has to be Villa.
I think if you're a Villa fan, you're buzzing. What I thought they would fall away, they haven't. And they're playing great football. Brilliant football.
Cracking goal.
I know.
Against Forest.
I know. I just, There's a long way to go, right? Lots of points to be had, but Villa deserve to be in the top four. They deserve it. They were brilliant.
Yeah, so Emery, win your game in hand. Win your game in hand. And it's back on.
No, don't get me wrong. We're fine. We're playing it this weekend. And I'm not saying we're not in it. I'm saying that fucking one of the other three bastards can be fucked off out of it. And Spurs and Villa be there.
Do you know what is... If you're a Brighton fan listening to this, you should be so excited because in a season where you supposedly dropped off, you're seventh in the Prem. That is awesome. If you can actually have some perspective as a Brighton fan, which surely you can have, and if you can't have, I give up. Like Brighton, I'd love to be a Brighton fan. I would love to be a Brighton fan. But I'm not.
It's interesting what Ben says there. He says, bring me the Europa. I'm happy with fifth. Ben keeps banging on about how it'd be good for our development if we're in Europa League. It's like one of them, you know, people create a weird hill to die on. Yeah, I know, but not at the expense of Champions League football. That's never an option, right? Anyway, he got well and truly vilified on the Fighting Club.
Did he? I get it. I totally get it.
No, you don't get it. There's nothing to get. There's no argument where being in the Europa League is better than being in the Champions League.
No, of course not. But in terms of, mate, that's narrative is so huge, right? And to go, get back into Europe and win games, confidence and building up that group of players. Who is it? AVB said that. You go in, get in the group. You're in that group. Newcastle, great example. Newcastle might have been better off if they'd had the Europa League this year. I think there'll be a massively different feeling around the club if they just got Europa League football instead of Champions League football.
I understand what you're saying, but we're already there. Newcastle are on that journey, right? So if, don't get me wrong, if we get in the Europa League, I'll happily see the positives in it. But if the option is Champions League, I'm not having this fucking cock. Go and listen to the fucking cock. I've done this already. Stupid. It's not a conversation worth happening.
I'm with Ben.
But can I just pick up on what Ben said? Is that the pendulum has switched again towards English clubs getting that fifth place, whereas it was lost because Frankfurt surprisingly went out of the Europa League. The problem is, though, James, is we might need Arsenal to get really far in the Champions League.
So what would you rather have?
Or Europa League football, obviously. You
take Europa League, right. Rather than any form of success for Arsenal. Fair enough.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Right. Players with no down curve. There's a couple of options here. I don't think we found it yet.
What does that mean?
So I was saying that, say, Bukayo Saka has been nothing but brilliant throughout his career, in my opinion.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's this conversation about, like people sort of turning on him. I just don't get it at all.
I love it. But yeah, it's just this, Jim. Jim, their career's just been that, pretty much.
Yeah, whereas like, say, Rashford, oh my God, you know, next coming of Christ, and then...
Yeah. And
even last year, world class. Now this year, like, Man United fans.
Now he's gone from caviar to eating out of bins, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of names. John Stones was chucked in there. Short memory. Because people thought people thought he was a bit of a chump. Like, 50 million for him. And by the way, this bloke is unreal.
He's incredible.
He's unreal. We'll do a video on him at some point. He's so good. You know me. I love a centre midfielder. But John Stones is so fun to watch. He's a Rolls Royce of a defender that's got his bloody foot down as well.
He's class. And like another example of what a genius Pep Guardiola is.
Yeah. It's also interesting how difficult it is almost to sort of believe in him because he's sort of like, even now, as well put together as he is, he's sort of still quite tall and sort of gangly. So you kind of think, oh, that doesn't 100% look right. But he's just unreal.
That's not a statement, Thomas. You're not saying anything there, mate. You just said I'd have him back at Everton if City fans don't want him.
Whoa, hey, Tommy. Hey, slow down.
Thomas, that's like madness.
That's 11:48. You've been drinking. When the time did you start drinking, saying coming out with something like that?
You're crazy, Tom.
John's like this.
Come in. Hi, Pep. I think I'd like to go back to Everton. Love to sort of play with Tarkowski, if that's all right.
Luke's gone, I'll take Ireland, Everton.
Yeah, I think we take him at Rangers. Him and, well, Clark Salter and Steve Cook have been superb. But yeah, I would take him. CJG Frey. I think Foden has been pretty resistant to criticism. Even when metrics haven't been amazing or when he hasn't been consistently in the team, he's always discussed as among the most talented English players in years, which he is, for the record. But he seems to be Teflon. Very rarely you see criticism for him, apart from the who's better debate between him and Saka, which is frankly a bit boring. Is that why you didn't watch the video then? Any other country would be delighted to have him.
How now, Jim?
And Saka as well. Well, I can't, you know. Speaking of roller coasters, that's, you know, that's YouTube. Bizal, I don't know if this is a wind-up or not. He said Joe Hart didn't get any stick, that I can remember, only from Pep. Joe Hart! Don't think Joe Hart was like... You hated Joe Hart for a bit. People hated Joe Hart for quite some time.
He fell off massively. He was terrible at Tottenham and, you know, he's bought as a backup keeper, I guess. But is he playing goal for Celtic?
Yeah, he's retiring at the end of the season. He made an announcement recently.
All right.
One thing with Joe Hart, I can't get my head around the tattoo, the like bar tattoo around his forearm. Which I don't get it. I'd like to have an explanation on that.
He's carrying around a piece. I reckon Joe Hart's carrying around a piece.
Yeah.
There's a massive wang. Yeah, huge.
He's like full time in the dressing room. Close off immediately. You know, like some people in a football team, some people like, they're just like, oh, it's just off. You know, like sometimes you'll see the footage and it's like they're having a go at the, you know, the manager's having a go at the team. And there's like one bloke's in his pants. Like no one else, everyone else has still got their shirt on because they've been discussing it. There's one guy, just everything off. That's Joe Hart.
But I've probably said this before, but I remember like going to the gym back in the day and there'd be some men that would just be instantly naked as soon as they get in, like all completely naked. Mm. And like, what is it, just because you've gone through this door, are you suddenly completely naked and walking around like it's normal?
Do you know what I can't handle is this, right? Hang on, I'll show you. It's like, what? In what world? Do people do this at home as well? Right? But in a gym, for some reason, certainly my gym, there's like these long sort of like bench things. And for some reason, naked, they want to do that.
Yeah,
Why is the knee going up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
going up.
I can understand the practice. I can understand the practice if you're alone because you need to. It gives you separation, doesn't it? But
you don't need to lift your leg up. It's bizarre.
It's less important for you to be dry than it is for me not to see that.
Yeah, it's a great point. One week bans.
Whatever happened to talcum powder? Where?
It's not good for you, I think. I don't think it's good for you.
My nan used to fucking, when I was a kid and my nan would bath me, fucking all over me, head to toe.
Like Casper the Ghost. Well, your balls did. 1 week ban! Yeah, Lewis Foyle asked you guys to tell me what you want to be banned. One that is actually good, clean fun, depending on your opinion, is Joe Gomez being told to shoot. So apparently every time Joe Gomez hasn't scored for Liverpool, everyone seems to be aware of this. And now, every time he gets the ball from about 35 yards out, because he's playing as an inverted fullback now, everyone's going, shoot. I think that's good, clean fun.
I mean, it's just nothing. I feel nothing about it. It's like one of the least funniest things I've ever heard. Okay. Arsenal did this back in the early 90s with John Jensen. Do you remember him, John Jensen?
Yeah. Because he didn't score. Yeah, scored the winner in the Euros against Germany. He did. Do you know who he scored his first goal against?
QPR.
Correct.
I remember.
In a 3-1 defeat.
Called it, didn't he?
Yeah, meant nothing. Or it might have been 1-1. Lewis Foyle, 1 week ban. He'd like to give anyone who puts ketchup on a roast. People like that need to take a long, hard look at themselves and grow up.
I actually need some horseradish. So that's well in. What is your condiment on the roast?
Thanks for the reminder. English mustard.
Yeah, but I'm
bosh.
I do both. I made a cheese toastie the other day with English mustard. It was cheese, onion, and mustard, but I overdid the mustard. And I like the dig in the face. I love it. Yeah. That was too much. It was too much. So someone asked me, they said, was it, what kind of mustard is it? Dijon or English mustard? And I went, well, it's English mustard. And he went, what's stronger? I went, fucking Dijon, fuck. You asking me what's stronger, Dijon fucking mustard or English mustard? When has the French ever done anything stronger than English, what we do in England, right? Fucking English, man. Don't ever ask me that fucking question again, you cat.
Breaking news. Pogba banned. 4 years. Okay. Pogba is banned from football for 4 years for doping, seemingly ending the career of the event. 4 years. It's over, isn't it? Yeah. Who was once the world's most expensive footballer. Do you know what? What a disaster of a move that was.
Bigger fall off than that. Apart from, you might say, Dani Alves, who's serving 4 years for rape.
Yeah, I would say that's worse.
Yeah, that is much worse.
It's...
yeah, Rubino, it's bad, seven years, doing 7 years.
I'd love to... What I think needs to be found out here is sort of the comparison of how heavily doping was he? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's probably different levels of doping. Do you know what I mean?
Was it?
But was it? Is it something that? But is it something that in England you get done for a year, or are Italy harsher than other countries? But yeah, I mean,
no chance.
4 years. Wow. Is it, I wonder though. Wow. Is he going to be the? You know, is he going to be the first of many?
Will there be a tide?
Yeah.
Wow. It's bizarre that. For someone who seemed so disinterested in playing for, at times, for him to go to the lengths of doping in order to play.
Yeah. Well, I guess, well, I mean...
What was it? Was it doping to get injury? Was it helping him getting back from injury and he's just trying to think, I need to speed this up? Or was it like...
Yeah, positive for testosterone after he entered his first game of the season, which I think he was on the bench for. I don't think he even started. Obviously, he'd had problems with injury, so maybe it was coming back from injury. But also, I guess it's the thing of, like, you know, just getting yourself up to speed, right, as well. Not speed the drug. So, yeah, sad times for Pogba. Many a video essay, I would imagine, will be on YouTube in the coming days.
Very soon. Are you going to do a video on it?
We were going to do one, and then I just saw a few already, and it was kind of like, well, I guess people have kind of spoken about it already. So we will leave it. It's important to say new things. We like to try and say new things on this channel. So don't need to.
Luke just said, couldn't get it up. That's why.
Testosterone, maybe.
Shame.
Yeah, Imagine if that was the truth. 4 year ban. But guys, at the hearing, why would you take such a thing? It's so obvious. Couldn't get out.
Is Viagra banned?
I think Viagra would be all right, wouldn't it? You don't. Don't know.
Is Viagra banned in sports? No, you feel free.
Feel free. Fill your boots. Right, we'll finish off with some weird flexes. I don't know if we did this last time or not, but we'll do it again just in case. I think we did. Hi, James. Love the videos. He said, I wanted to share my weird flex. I can make a very realistic water droplet sound with my mouth. Did we do that last week? I feel like we did.
Yeah, we did.
Okay, we'll move on. Right, to Joe... Court, holding court.
I don't react, it's because I can't. The stream you're sharing isn't working, so that's why it is.
Okay. I think I'm doing it on a low level. So let me just do that again for you at a higher level. 60 frame rate. Give you the best available to you. So here we go. This is Joe Court. He says, I literally have a weird flex in my nose. Context, I've never broken it or taken any of Colombia's finest. Just got a nose seemingly made out of Play-Doh. Okay. Let's have a look, shall we? Okay. Joe holding court.
Oh my God, he's got no bones in his nose.
We enjoyed the wink at the end.
Yeah.
Enjoy the wink. That's...
Yeah. Get that off my screen.
I think that's useful though. That's the great angle, isn't it?
See where his bone stops. Where the bone stops. Oh, fair play.
I neglect him.
Yeah, as Reese says, what a freak. Not my words.
And on that note,
Johnny Gannon!
We finished the podcast.
How long have we been going for? It felt like a long one.
120. Twas. Once again, thank you to our patrons. Massively appreciate it. We do mailbag most weeks. We haven't been able to do it this week. Maybe we can sneak one in tomorrow. I'm not sure, but we will find a way to make it up to you guys.
My cat's dying.
Your cat's dying.
Yeah. Got to take him to the vet tomorrow. So, leave you with that.
Okay.
Bye.
Pray for, what's the name of the cat?
Sid.
Pray for Sid.
Bye.
Yeah. Be grateful for everything you've got, on especially on that.
Bye.
Yeah. No, yep. Yeah, bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.